Now, relationships, George, are about three things. They're about trust, value, and contribution.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Michael Hughes. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Michael. One, Michael has invested the last 20 plus years researching networking as a business strategy and professional competency. Two, organizations that Michael has worked with include Dell, Staples, Ottawa Senators Sports and Entertainment, Project Management Institute, and the University of Ottawa Executive MBA Program. And here's the third fact about Michael. He is a past chair of the Board of Directors of the Ottawa Board of Trade, one of the oldest and most respected chambers of commerce in Canada. Oldest and most respected. We're talking about the chamber, not about Michael. Michael Hughes, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you, George. Pleased to be here.
And some people might say Michael certainly is respected and kind of old. Michael, you've been in the networking, you've been studying networking, you've been practicing networking, your networking is in your blood. Why do we, especially at a time like this, need to up our networking skills?
Well, you know, George, the last couple of years have been tough for everybody. I mean, there's been a huge change, and people haven't stopped networking. They all still do it, but the issue is they're doing it differently now. Our interactions with others have transitioned to the environment that is most convenient for us, right? Which is technology. And I'm sure it's the same for you, it's the same for me, it's the same for everyone. Communication, and in order to get your intended message across, has completely changed.
And Michael, so during the pandemic, what did you discover? How did you adapt your networking skills, the techniques? I imagine you probably learned some new techniques and you had to adapt previous techniques. What changes did you make in your networking?
Well, you know, George, the biggest transition that most professionals have to make is an understanding the complete reversal in dynamics for effective communication, which is one of the fundamental premises for driving relationships, right? And George, you know as well as I do that relationships are the basis for success in business and life. And where prior to the pandemic, what happened was we had face-to-face contact, right? That was, the rules of engagement were clear. You know, you had the eye contact, your handshake, all this kind of stuff. But all of a sudden overnight, that door completely closed. So professionals now have had to adapt their communication. And you know, the four components of communication are verbal, nonverbal, visual, and written. And we've gone from verbal, nonverbal being the majority of our communication style to written and visual being the driving forces. And that's hard. It requires a different mindset and it requires new skills. And that's hard for folks. So the transition that we've all had to make, as you think about it, is over 80% of our professional communication now occurs with technology-based communication. And most of us aren't used to that. Technology-based communication, George, as you know, is generally for information. It's to pass along a message as opposed to starting a conversation. And that's the most difficult thing I find with folks, is transitioning their mindset to understand that when it comes to communicating with folks, whether it's on social networks, whether it's via email, whether it's via text or intranet, to use that exchange and move that pendulum, the relationship pendulum, forward using technology-based communication.
Michael, do you think the use of technology in communicating has made people less patient with others?
I think the biggest difference, George, is many professionals have not made the transition between what a conversation is in real life and what a technology-based interchange can and needs to be now in order to advance a relationship. When it comes to face-to-face communication, as you know, George, with your skill set and how you help professionals, it's all about sharing with people and moving forward and having that conversation get going. Online, many professionals still look at online from a different perspective. It's all about connect, qualify, and close. And that just doesn't work. It turns people off. So it requires different skills in understanding how you need to start a conversation, how you can get it going, rather than just trying to send someone a message as soon as you connect online or they respond to your email. It's about starting a conversation with them, moving that relationship forward. And that's hard.
Okay, Michael, let's look at LinkedIn as a networking environment. What would you recommend? What process would you recommend people go through to use networking, to apply networking in LinkedIn or to make it part of the process?
Yeah, and you know, for most professionals, LinkedIn is the formal online network that most of us use. And so a lot of my interactions now have occurred through LinkedIn, and I've been able to connect with people. I've been able to build relationships, generate business, get referrals, get all that going. And really, there's a process that you need to go through. And the first one is you've got to understand, first and foremost, what's your purpose in being there? I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, do you just want to get clients? Do you want to build your brand? Do you want to develop a public relations image? So how do you want to do that? Because that dictates everything you do. The second piece is your profile, because your profile is your online avatar. It's how people will see you. And if you go back into the history of LinkedIn, when it first started, it was an executive search tool. And so too many professionals today still list their profile as a CV, as a curriculum vitae, as opposed to thinking of it as a marketing resource. And if you think in terms of picking your profile and reconfiguring it around two things, what is the value that you bring to the marketplace? What is the value you bring to the marketplace? And then who's the target market that you want to do business with? Because too many people try and set their profile up so that it appeals to everyone. That just doesn't work. You're better off to make your profile strategic around the value you have and who you deliver that to, so that when those people go to your profile by design or by default, they will be able to identify you. So that's the starting point. You have to define your purpose, have a strong profile, and then it's all about building relationships. Well, how do you build relationships? Well, you start connecting with people. And it amazes me how people say, you know, I'm on LinkedIn and people reach out to me and want to connect. I don't even know who they are. I don't know what to do. Well, if you were at an event, what would you do? That person would walk up to you and start a conversation with you. So when someone invites you to connect on LinkedIn, the smartest thing you can do is reach out to them. But there's one little piece that people need to put in here. And that's that what generally happens, George, when someone reaches out to you and invites you to connect, what's the first thing you do?
Go visit their profile.
Absolutely. Because that tells you who they are and where they're going. Then you make a decision on whether or not. And I used to do that all the time. And George, for most professionals that you know, what generally happens after that?
That you ignore the invite.
George, I used to do the same thing. And then I made up my mind. I said, you know what? These people are not reaching out to me by accident. There's a reason why they're doing it. Either LinkedIn told them to, because it does, right? People you may know. Or it may be something I posted that they looked at and visited my profile and thought it was interesting. Or someone told them to. So when someone invited me to connect, I go visit their profile. And when I agree to connect, I send them this little message. Here's the message I send. Hi, George. Thanks for reaching out. Honored to be part of your LinkedIn network. Really curious about why you chose to connect with me. And when I started to do that, George, you'd be amazed at the number of people who replied looking to validate why they wanted to connect with me. And it acted as a conversation starter. So it's about your purpose. It's about your profile. It's about promoting yourself by connecting with other people. And then it's about building relationships. And that starts with conversations, right? And how many times have you reached out to someone and they've agreed to connect, and right away you get a message back about, I want to give you a second opinion on your insurance. I think you and I can work together. And that just doesn't work. So it's about starting a conversation. And the wonderful thing about online networks like LinkedIn is a person's profile gives you all kinds of information about them, about their career, about their background, about what they like, about what they're doing, that allows you to start that conversation. And it's like a pendulum, right? The pendulum, you want to get that pendulum swinging back and forth. And then your ultimate objective is to get a live conversation with them. Because George, you and I both know that it's a live conversation that really drives the relationship process, right?
A phone call or Zoom call?
Absolutely. 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 So it's all about slowing things down, focusing on people as opposed to products or profits when you start off. But it's the old saying, I don't care how much you know till I know how much you care. And you can demonstrate that using an interaction, engagement with that, with the purpose. So you know, it's about your purpose, your profile, it's about promoting yourself. It's about creating and engaging with people. And it's about being committed to building a relationship. Because relationships take time, they need to be nurtured, and they require investment, right, George?
Relationships take time and they need to be nurtured. How do you nurture the relationship in what you hope to be at some point a profitable business relationship?
Here's the reality, George. The reality is every person has the potential to help you in some way to the extent that they're willing and able. Your mission, our mission, is to discover their ability as we grow and develop a relationship with them. So rather than having that one-dimensional perspective of, I just connected with George, I want him as a client, I want him to give me money, it's about understanding, George, you and I are both professionals, and there's a way that we can help one another. Networking is not a sales arena. It's a peer-to-peer connection environment. And the more you focus on building a relationship from a peer-to-peer perspective, and those opportunities are always there as you connect with people, as you interact with them and talk about their career, talk about their background, talk about their interests, talk about what's important to them. And the more you can position yourself so that you can build that relationship. Now, relationships, George, are about three things. They're about trust, value, and contribution. Basis of trust. Every important relationship in your life is based on trust, but it's built on value, right? And we all have a value. And then the third thing is contribution. So the smartest thing you can do as you connect with people and engage in these conversations is find some way to contribute to them, to be helpful to them. And that's the biggest piece. The most difficult part for most professionals when it comes to online networking and relationship building is transitioning their mindset from a technical perspective to a personal perspective and growing a professional relationship to see how we can help one another. That's my perspective.
Help one another. That's not net. And I imagine that it doesn't necessarily mean providing your professional service for free, but there are other ways that we can help each other. And give us some examples of how we can help each other.
Well, George, there's, you know, when it comes to effective communication, it's all about better understanding what others want and need, right? One of the biggest issues we have as human beings is we're self-driven, right? We all want, I want what I want. I want what I need. But we always get more and better results when we focus on helping others get what they want. What is it Zig Ziglar said? You'll get what you want in life if you help enough people get what they want. So if you have that perspective, that mindset in both your mind and in your heart as you connect with people, that will resonate with them and it will open their minds and their hearts to want to be helpful to you. Now, how do you do that? Well, George, when it comes to communication, it's about the two most powerful communication tools we have, right? Being a better listener and asking better questions. I mean, if you ever want your intended message to get across, that's the simplest way to do it. Focus less on telling people stuff. Focus more on discovering what they want, what they need, what's important to them, and then help them get that. Because every time you do that, you change their perception and perspective of you as a professional and as a person, and they'll look for ways to want to be helpful to you. Isn't that true?
True. And Michael, I'm wondering, here's a question that I've been asked and that I've used at times, unfortunately not consistently enough, but when meeting someone or having a conversation, and as we might be ending the conversation, the question is, how can I best help you at this time? Something like that. Does it make sense? Is that a good networking trust building?
Well, it's a standard comment many people make, right? But isn't the reality when you first meet someone and you have that little 30-second to 3-minute conversation, you really don't know enough about them or about their situation, about their needs. You can ask that question, but it's hard for other folks to do that. What I suggest to people is work harder to find something that's of value to them, whether it's a piece of information, whether it's a contact, whether it's an opportunity of some kind. And then rather than just asking that question, ask this question, say, George, would it be helpful to you if I could connect you with someone in the executive suite of Johnson Mechanical, because I think they might need your services. And when you say,
yeah, you bet.
it does two things. The first thing it does is it validates that I want to be of service to you. And the second thing it does is it trips that little lever in your mind about wanting to be helpful to others. Now, the reality is, George, that if you say that, you need to follow through with it, right? Now, here's the wonderful thing. Here's the wonderful thing about being of service to others. If you can find that one small, tangible, strategic item that could be of service to them, and it could be a phone number, a contact, it could be information, it could be anything. When you find that one thing and you follow through with that particular activity, it doesn't matter whether it actually happens or not. Your unselfish, sincere effort to be of service to others leaves an incredible impact on them and has them keep their mind and their heart open to being helpful to you for weeks and months to come. And you know what? The trick is, if you find the right prospect, if you find the right contact, and you do this over and over and over again, what happens is it exponentially grows and drives the results you want and need.
And what I'm hearing there, Michael, is if you help others, then they will feel obliged and willing to help you more readily. And in fact, they'll probably think of you more often because they feel appreciative.
Isn't that the way it works?
I thought so.
That's the way life works, right? So my recommendation to people, and it's what we do in real life. Most professionals understand how this works in pre-COVID times, right? When you went to a networking event, you had conversations, you looked to be helpful to others. But when we've transitioned now into this technology-based communication world, many professionals have not made that transition that this is possible, it's necessary, and it's invaluable in technology-based communication. So starting small conversations, starting to get that pendulum swinging back and forth, so you get to a point where you say to that person, you know what, really enjoy chatting with you, love to have a live conversation, find out more about you and your company, about you and your service, about you and your career. And when that person says yes and you get them on the phone, that's when you can really get that relationship going.
Michael, when we start having networking events where we're meeting in person again, I imagine that a lot of people are going to feel awkward. What advice do you have for those people?
Yeah, and George, here's what I tell people: take it slow, because you know whether we accept it or not, we have this residual COVID mindset that is causing a lot of grief, of damage, of stress. And so what I tell people is, you know, things will open up. People will go back. So I tell people, first and foremost, be ready. Just sit down and think about it. Am I ready for this? And if you're not, don't do it. There'll be lots of time. That's the first thing. The second thing is to think in terms of finding an organization or a network or a community that you're comfortable with so that you're not walking into a foreign environment. Okay. Now, the third thing is get there early. Because when you get there early, there's not a lot of people around, and you can get to introduce yourself to other people. The next one I tell people is ask about protocols, because it's all changed, right? So when you get there, if you get there early, you can connect with the people who are putting on the event and ask them, okay, what's the protocol for masks and how are things going to work and get all that going. And so you can get that moving forward. And then as you go through the event, I suggest to people what you do is you resist what I like to call groupthink. And groupthink is, you know, as soon as you walk into an environment, what happens is you tend to fall back into the old habits you had. So people will take off their mask or people will get too close enough. So you want to think in terms of protecting yourself wherever you can. And then the last thing I suggest to people is do a debrief when you get back. How did you feel? How did it go? What went well? So that you can help yourself get back into the group. It will take probably 30 to 60 days and attending probably a half a dozen events before things really get going back. But we're almost there now, George. It's time to get back, and it's time to now take advantage of this dual networking world we have, the face-to-face coming back and the virtual world that we've all become accustomed to, and make them work together.
Michael, what do you say to introverts and shy people? What do you offer them so that they can feel more comfortable in any networking event, any environment?
You know, that's an interesting point, because there's a lot of misconception about the whole introvert extrovert thing. You know, there's more research coming out now that says that introverted leaders are much more effective than extroverted leaders because they focus more on individual conversations. And the research I've done validates that, especially in a networking environment. Now, a networking environment for an introvert can be a little more difficult for an extrovert because you have to work harder. But those introverts, because of their personality, because of the way they think and the way that they act, they can have deeper conversations with fewer people and end up being more effective in their networking. So I always suggest to people who consider themselves to be introverts to say, take your time, focus on quality as opposed to quantity, and you will achieve more than others.
Michael, I wonder if we're going to start using business cards again, if we're going to be exchanging business cards, if it's okay to hand it to another person. Oh, better, you know, fumigate it before you give it to me. At what point, and let's assume that we do get back to exchanging business cards, at what point in the conversation is it appropriate to say, you want my card? Here's my card.
Yeah, and George, all those things are coming back. I mean, I don't think business cards are going to be obsolete, but with the way we've adapted to technology now, what's happening is more and more people are just exchanging contact information on their iPhone, but there will always be a place for business cards. And you're right, too many people have that mindset where their job is to hand out business cards. And in fact, I remember being at a breakfast and seeing a gentleman walking around as we were networking each of the tables. He was putting his business card at each placemat, thinking that was how to network. And so what I suggest to people is, rather than thinking about handing your card out to people, find a reason to ask them for their business card. See, what I tell people, say, George, you know what? I should get your business card. You wouldn't happen to have a business card, would you? And then when you hand me your business card, I can hand you mine in exchange. So the more you focus on, and that makes someone feel good, you want to know about them, you want their contact information. And so it in fact increases the perception of your professionalism, your competence, and your integrity.
And I see in that feels more like a more valuable exchange as opposed to, here's my card, which just makes you feel used. Michael, if people want to find out more about you and the programs you have on networking, they can find your website and tell us where that is.
www.networkingforresults.com. My entire life is there.
Networkingforresults.com, and you can find that link in the description below. Michael, if you could talk to to a business leader who's preparing to go to a networking event, and perhaps they're a little cautious, uncertain, nervous, what, if you can give them one, two, or three pieces of advice, and maybe it starts with what self-talk should they have? What talk should they have with themselves before they go into the room?
And George, that's an excellent question. It really is, because too many people get so stressed and worked up about walking into a room full of people. And so what I suggest to people is just before you walk into the room, take 10 or 15 seconds and remind yourself the success you've had in the past, right? First of all, like what's one event I went to where I made a good contact? The second thing is to think in terms to prepare for success, that I'm going to meet somebody here who can have an impact on my career or my life. So that's the starting point, is prepare yourself as you walk in. The second thing is, once you walk in, is be yourself. So many times we try and be someone else and it just doesn't work. So be yourself. And the third thing is, think in terms of connecting with people, making friends. Remember, I keep telling people, networking is not a sales environment. It's a peer-to-peer connection network. People don't go to networking events to be sold. They go there to meet other professionals, discover the value they have, and see how they can work together.
Michael, that's a brilliant summary of what networking should be. Yeah, I don't go to a networking event to have somebody try to sell me something. I go there to make connections with people that we can help each other. My guest today is Michael Hughes, reminding you to say thank you for reaching out. I'm curious what made you reach out to me. Let's discover more.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.